Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at a really fascinating and maybe unexpected angle on personal growth. You know, the whole idea of picking just one word for your year.
Yeah, the one word thing. It's pretty popular.
Kind of like a North Star to guide you. Simple idea can be powerful.
Definitely. That focus can really work for people.
Absolutely. But here's the twist we're exploring today. What happens when the word we pick, even with the best intentions, actually holds us back?
That's interesting because usually the focus is on the positive side, right? The success stories.
Exactly. Our sources today look at the opposite. They dive into the stories of nine individuals whose chosen words sort of inadvertently became obstacles.
And these weren't obviously negative words either, were they? Things like analysis or safe.
Precisely. Words that sound quite reasonable. Someday, ladder, control. Makes you think, doesn't it?
It really does. It makes looking at the the unintended consequences much more revealing.
So, the story goes, the person behind the one-word challenge was actually looking for people who had transformed because of their word. For a book, maybe?
Yeah.
But instead, they found these nine people. They've kind of playfully called them the nine villains.
Not actual villains, though.
No, not malicious at all. It's just that their words, often chosen out of a desire for, say, comfort or safety or maybe control, they ended up becoming their Achilles heel. Stopped them moving forward.
So the words sort of trapped them in place.
That's a good way to put it. So, for you listening, that's our mission in this deep dive. How can these seemingly harmless words actually trip us up?
Right. And by understanding what happened with these nine people, maybe we can spot our own potential blind spots, see how our own good intentions might occasionally go sideways.
Okay, let's get into it. Let's meet these nine individuals. First, there's overthinking Oliver. His word was analysis.
Oliver. He sees the world as, well, pretty chaotic, but he believes you can manage it, you know?
Through analysis.
Exactly. Rigorous analysis. He thinks the main problem isn't making a decision, it's not having enough information. Ignorance is the enemy.
He wants that feeling of certainty, that safety before he acts.
Yes. And the core assumption is if he just analyzes everything enough, he'll get there. He'll be secure enough to move.
Sounds logical, doesn't it? I mean, who doesn't want more information?
True. But you can probably guess the problem.
Analysis paralysis.
Bingo. He gets stuck. Always waiting for that one more piece of data, that final confirmation. Have you ever done that? Waited just a bit too long and then, oops, the chance is gone.
Oh, definitely. That feeling of needing absolute certainty,
Yeah,
it's a real trap.
it is. And psychologically, sometimes that need for perfect info isn't just about knowledge. It can be tied to maybe a fear of responsibility or just avoiding the vulnerability of taking a leap and maybe getting it wrong.
Makes sense. Okay, next up, Mañana Mateo, his word, someday.
Mateo, he sees procrastination differently. For him, it's not laziness, it's patience.
Patience, how
Yeah,
so?
he's waiting for the right moment. He genuinely believes that tomorrow, or, someday, will just be a better time to act, more potential later.
So acting now, before everything feels perfect, that's the real mistake in his view.
That's his logic. It's less about lacking drive and more of this deep belief in a future, more perfect opportunity. Does
Yes.
that ring any bells for you? That I'll do it when things calm down or when I feel ready kind of thought?
Absolutely. We all have a someday list, I think.
But the obvious snag is someday is.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a day of the week, is it?
No.
Yeah.
It often stays out there just over the horizon, and opportunities pass by.
Exactly. It relies on a future that might never perfectly line up. And if you dig a bit, that constant putting off can sometimes hide a fear of failure, maybe, or even just being uncomfortable with the messiness of the present.
The perfect future is a nice idea, but it keeps you from dealing with now.
Precisely. Okay, who's next?
Comparison, Carl. His word.
Ladder. Aha, the ladder. So Carl sees life as a climb, right? A hierarchy.
Yes. And he uses comparison, but he insists it's not envy. He called it data.
Data. Interesting. Data for what?
To figure out where he stands, basically. To gauge his progress against others. He says it motivates him, like research.
Okay, so he's trying to be objective about something pretty subjective, how well you're doing in life. Looking for benchmarks. Have you ever caught yourself doing that? Using someone else's success as a ruler for your own.
I think everyone does to some extent, don't they? Social media makes it almost impossible not to.
True, but the risk for Carl is huge. His sense of self, his feeling of progress, it all becomes dependent on looking outside himself.
Constantly comparing, looking over his shoulder.
Yeah, and that's a recipe for feeling inadequate, isn't it?
Yeah.
No matter what he actually achieves. Social comparison theory talks about this. Like, comparing can motivate sometimes, sure, but it can also really hammer your self-esteem.
Especially if it's your main way of measuring yourself. It makes you ask, like, whose ladder are you even climbing? Is it even yours?
Exactly. Good question. Okay, number four.
Fearful Fiona. Word. Safe.
Safe. Speaks for itself, really. Fiona puts security, preparedness above almost everything else.
She thinks hesitating is wise. Jumping in without a bulletproof plan, that's just dangerous.
Right. And her main way to avoid failing.
Don't try in the first place. Don't venture out.
Her world is built around needing things to be predictable, avoiding harm. The comfort zone is, well, it's her fortress. Anything outside feels threatening. Can you relate to that urge to just play it safe, stay where you know?
Oh, for sure. It's a natural instinct, but the downside is pretty clear.
Yeah. By always choosing safe, Fiona automatically limits herself. No new experiences, fewer chances to grow. That fear of what might go wrong just shuts everything down.
It really brings up that tension in personal growth, doesn't it? You often have to embrace some uncertainty, some vulnerability to actually move forward.
Absolutely. Caution is good. Prudence is valuable. But too much focus on safety leads straight to stagnation. It's a fine line, isn't it? Where's careful and where's just stuck in fear?
Definitely a fine line. Okay, next we have Reluctant Ron. His word was crossroads.
Crossroads. Okay, so Ron is all about keeping options open.
Exactly. He focuses on weighing every single possibility. He delays committing because he's terrified of regret, of missing out on something better down another path.
So for him, actually choosing something, committing to it, that's the real danger.
Yes. He thinks staying at the crossroads keeps his potential maximized, minimizes the chance of making the wrong choice. Ever felt stuck like that? Too many options, can't pick one.
Oh, yeah. The paradox of choice. It's real.
But the irony for Ron is by not committing, he never actually gets the benefits or learns the lessons from fully going down any path. He just stays undecided.
Right. Like psychological opportunity cost. You try to keep every door open, but you never actually walk through any of them.
Yeah.
You miss out on the unique things that happen when you actually engage. Sometimes the worst decision really is no decision.
Very true. Okay. We also have procrastination, Patty. Word, caution.
Patty. Okay. So similar to Mateo's someday, but framed as caution.
Kind of. Patty doesn't see it as laziness either. It's a deliberate tactic, she says, to guard her peace, to avoid false starts.
How does she justify the waiting?
She waits for perfect alignment. The plan, her energy levels, the general vibe. Everything has to feel just right before she begins.
Ah, the quest for optimal conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Believing that if she just waits for that perfect sweet spot, she'll avoid wasted effort and guarantee success. Sound familiar? That feeling of, I'll start when I'm really in the zone.
Totally. But we know how that usually goes, right?
That perfect moment, it's pretty rare, if it ever comes at all.
So Patty's caution just becomes another form of avoidance. She never gets started, never gets the momentum that comes from just doing something, even imperfectly.
Yeah, it highlights that difference between actual thoughtful planning, which is good, and what some psychologists might call planning as procrastination. You know, where preparing more is just a way to put off the actual work.
Right. Okay, then there's distraction, Danny. His word was dynamic.
Dynamic. So Danny liked to be busy.
Constantly. For him, stillness equals stagnation, failure even. He equates constant activity juggling tasks, tabs open, timers, lists with progress. It's how he manages chaos and avoids getting bored.
Okay, so being dynamic is driven by maybe a fear of being unproductive, or FOMO, fear of missing out. Busyness equals value.
Seems like it. Any quiet moment might feel like he's falling behind. You relate to that. Feeling you have to be doing something constantly to feel okay.
It's a very modern pressure, isn't it?
It is, but the result for Danny. His engagement is shallow. He's flitting from one thing to another. Hard to get deep focus. Hard to get meaningful results anywhere.
It really makes you question what productivity even means now. Is it just touching lots of tasks, or is it about focus and actually finishing things well? Danny's story suggests constant motion isn't always the same as moving forward.
Good point. Okay, number eight, manifest mirror, word, manifest.
Manifest. Okay, so this is moving into a slightly different direction. Less about direct action, more about belief.
Exactly. Mirror shifted from trying to actively control things to, well, trusting. Trusting that what he desires is already on its way. He focuses on alignment with that reality rather than striving.
So the obstacle for him isn't lack of effort, it's feeling disconnected from what he wants.
That's his view. It's about the power of belief, attracting outcomes through mindset and energy. A more passive approach, trusting the universe, sort of. Have you encountered this kind of thinking? Manifesting goals.
It's definitely a popular concept. There's power in belief, for sure.
But the potential trap here seems obvious, right?
Passivity.
Yeah. Relying solely on alignment, on just believing, without taking practical steps. That could lead to, well, not much happening in the real world. Missed chances, no tangible results.
It highlights that balance needed between intention and action, doesn't it?
Mm.
Believing you can achieve something, self-efficacy, that's super important. But usually you also need to, you know, do the things that make it happen.
Right. Trust the process, maybe, but also participate in it.
Exactly. Right. Find that balance.
Okay.
Okay, one left.
Last one. Perfectionist Pearl. Her word. Control.
Ah, control. Pearl believes strict control is key.
Essential. For safety, for preventing mistakes. Mistakes for her are really bad news. Dangerous, almost.
The flawlessness equals protection. Protection from criticism. Maybe rejection.
That seems to be the core of it. Her drive for control comes from a deep fear of being judged, of being vulnerable. If she can just be perfect and impossible standard, obviously she thinks she can shield herself. Can you relate to that desire, wanting to avoid mistakes at all costs?
I think many people can, especially maybe in work contexts.
But the limitation is huge. That relentless chase for perfection, it often leads straight back to procrastination because you're scared to start something you can't make perfect.
Or you never finish or never share what you've done. Missed opportunities again. Plus, just the constant anxiety of it all.
Exactly. The fear of not being perfect becomes the biggest barrier.
It really shows how vulnerability, which Pearl tries so hard to avoid with control, is often essential for growth and for connection, too. Trying to be impossibly perfect can actually isolate you.
So that's the 9. Overthinking Oliver analysis, Manana Mateo, someday, Comparison Carl, ladder, Fearful Fiona, safe, Reluctant Ron, crossroads, Procrastination, Patty, caution, Distraction Danny, dynamic, Manifest Mirror, manifest, and Perfectionist Pearl, control.
Quite a list. And as we heard, each word on its own seems reasonable. Order, patience, knowledge, security, options, care, energy, alignment. Mastery.
Yeah, they sound like things you might want.
But the common thread is how these words, meant to help, ended up creating these self-imposed limits.
Because they all tapped into a desire to avoid something uncomfortable. Uncertainty, risk, failure, judgment.
Exactly. And in trying to avoid those things, they inadvertently stopped themselves from growing or changing. They got stuck.
Like you said earlier, their words ended up writing their stories for them. They weren't actively shaping their own narrative anymore. They just became their word.
Which is a really powerful takeaway for everyone listening, I think. It shows how even words we think are positive or neutral can subtly shape our thinking, our actions, in ways we don't even realize.
Think about the original one-word idea again. People usually pick words like clarity, right? Or courage, confidence, resilience.
Words that inherently push you forward, usually. Encourage you to step outside the comfort zone.
But these 9 stories, the villains, they highlight the other side. The potential danger in picking words that lean too hard into comfort, safety, or that illusion of having everything under control.
Yeah, those words can create this subtle drag, this inertia. Keeps you tethered to what feels familiar, even if you say you want something different.
So here's the big question for you, listening right now. Is there a word, a concept, maybe an ideal, that might be unknowingly holding you in place? Something you value that might subtly be limiting you?
It's definitely worth reflecting on. And it's important to remember, this isn't the full picture. The sources mention that there's another side to this. People who did choose empowering words and really became them. We might explore that in the future.
Yeah, that would be a great contrast. So as you heard these 9 stories, maybe think about that question from the source material. Who will you be next? It's a powerful prompt, really makes you think about the future you want to create intentionally. And they mention a link, repossible.com/Artharade1, if you want to explore that idea further.
So ultimately, this look at the 9 villains leaves us with a pretty stark choice to consider, doesn't it?
Which is?
Is the comfort, the feeling of security you get from staying inside your familiar boundaries. Is it really worth the cost? The cost being the potential future, the growth, the experiences you might be missing out on.
That is definitely something to chew on. A provocative thought to end with.